Welcome back. Yinzer's Talking Sports. My name's Brandon. This is my co-host, Jeff. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? Nothing much down here. Just watching Nell Cruz crush over us like it's free. But we'll talk about that later.
Another walk in the park. Well, nothing's been happening for Pittsburgh, right? Everything's dormant.
Well, so just like we had talked about last week, and now everyone's talking about, Steelers look like they're gearing up for something big. So apparently Mike Williams isn't going to be that part of that big thing because he just signed with the Jets. I'm not sure why.
That was interesting. I tell you, because he had scheduled a meeting with the Steelers and didn't even make it to the meeting as far as I know. I think it was the Jets, then Pittsburgh, and he just left the Jets with a contract.
It was the Jets, Carolina, and then Pittsburgh, apparently.
He wasn't going to go to Carolina.
He won. Apparently, he's not making it to Pittsburgh either. So that happened. There's a lot of trade talk with the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk's, our receiver. He hasn't tweeted anything in the last 10 months, and apparently he started tweeting to Mike Tomlin.
I didn't see that. That's interesting.
He wants out of San Francisco. And lastly, I have Pickett's considered entitled. And that was an interesting. There were a couple reads on that. But
Let's start there, I guess.
I forget who said it best, but someone said, dude, you're not Ben Roethlisberger. You haven't earned the stripes.
And I might be biased because he did go to Pitt. I'm a big Pitt fan, so I wanted that to work out. But there's a couple things. So, first off, let's go back. I might be in a minority at this point. I still don't believe he refused to dress for the Seattle game. That came from reporters. I haven't seen anybody else say that. He addressed it at his introductory press conference with the Eagles. I don't think that happened. That said, that press conference was an ugly look on him, I think.
All I know is not only did they say that the defensive players were reaching out and trying to find someone else, that there were a lot of people happy when he left.
Well, and I think that part of the problem, and I was going over to somebody, a friend of mine too, is that when it came out after the Buffalo game, and said, Kenny Pickett's the number one guy next year. We're going to bring in competition. Competition, we talked about this last episode. Competition could be Mason Rudolph or Tannehill. But it's not effing Russell Wilson. Because Russell Wilson looks at his bank account, and he's got QB1 money. He's not going to go somewhere where as competition for Kenny Pickett. He's going to go somewhere to start.
Well, so even if Kenny sat behind him for a year, at least watch someone that's got some street cred, you know? I mean, it's not like Russell Wilson completely sucks. I mean, he's got some experience. He's won some big games. You know, I mean, I think he's a little long in the tooth.
Look, I want to like him. I always thought it was kind of like, in the Tebow era, he was kind of a low-key Christian guy. That appeals to me, but like, he's got Sierra. But there's been unflattering things about him as well lately. That's what I'm saying. You can't read what everybody else is saying. I try to look at what the players are saying and coaches and stuff like that. And like with Kenny Pickett, like there wasn't a lot of people that came out and was like, get rid of him.
Hey, dude. Hey, something's up with your mic.
Hold on. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Sorry. Let me just change this one setting.
It was reverbing pretty bad.
You know, because naturally, my wife called me. So I just put on Do Not Disturb. Kenny Pickett's going to sit behind Jalen Hurts for 2 years. unless something goes wrong and he gets hurt or something. When you look at the quarterback situations 2 years from now, Pittsburgh doesn't have anybody under contract at all going into next year. So they could be one of the few teams with an opening. Not that they'd bring him back, but, you know, I'm just saying.
Well, so I read something that Tony Kornheiser was saying that basically he thinks that the Justin Fields is going to outplay Russell Wilson and be the week one starter. If not, he'll be started by week six. Now, I'm not big on Russell Wilson. I'd love to see that happen. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'd love to see it happen.
Yeah, I don't know. One of the things I was reading today is that a lot of the teams that were calling about Justin Fields saw him as a backup. He wanted to come to Pittsburgh. That was kind of why part of the reason they sent him there and didn't get as much back as they had hoped. But the Russell Wilson's going to have a leash. I don't know how long it'll be, but I mean, we saw Trubisky was what, game three when they went to pick it, game three or four, pick his rookie year. So
they said his leash is awful short.
I find that hard to believe just from the fact that they called him before the trade was announced and said, you're still going to be the guy, Russ. Like, I don't know. I mean, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but that's how it looks.
Well, I just think that it's starting to look like the Steelers are finally climbing into the 21st century. They're not putting up with a lot of nonsense anymore. And they're not going to take struggling and losing. They're just not going to tolerate it anymore.
Yeah.
Which we're back to the old Steeler way. If you're not going to play, I mean, one of his favorite Tomlinisms is, we want volunteers, not hostages.
Yeah.
I mean, if you feel like you're a hostage, well, get out.
And I think they've hung on to some guys maybe too long. Maybe Antonio Brown's an example of that. And Russell Wilson does seem like he wants to be there in a way maybe Kenny Pickett didn't. But, you know, here's something else to consider before we switch gears. Russ Wilson, at his introductory press conference, talked about multiple championships. He's only on the contract for 1 year. Now, that I've read something today that after the season they're going to work on a multi-year deal. I think that's a little premature because he hasn't played a single snap. But
I think they're waiting to see what he does this year.
But Justin Fields won't be under contract either. And they're obviously not going to pick up the fifth-year option. I could see them doing like a Jordan Love deal where, look, we're going to decline the option, but here's a 2-year, $20 million or whatever, you know, something. But
I think that's going to happen.
But, you know, I don't think you bring Justin Fields in to sit. You know, he's not a career backup yet.
I tell you what, I still think we draft a quarterback.
I think that they have to. They will.
I think they have to draft a quarterback just to be sure. Maybe Wilson isn't the dude. And maybe Justin Fields plays a little bit better than Trubisky. Or maybe he ranks up there next to Mason Rudolph. Who knows? I don't think Rudolph was the man.
No.
I'm sorry. Four games doesn't prove that you're the man.
No. And one of the funnier things that was out there, I don't know how true this is. I should have wrote down who said it so I could give proper credit. But someone said, well, Mason Rudolph signed with Tennessee. That's when the Steelers pivoted to just revamp the quarterback room and go get like Russ Wilson, Justin Fields, and let Kenny Pickett go. I don't know. That seems like an extreme reaction. The Steelers aren't known for that. But like you said, they're adjusting their philosophies, so who knows?
I think things are changing with the Steelers. I've always respected Omar Khan. I think he does magic with the numbers. He does magic with the salary cap. I mean, we keep a lot of players that we want to keep. I don't ever see us, you never see the Steelers like in the position that the Chargers are in. They're in fire.
Chargers are a mess.
They don't have a choice. They don't have a choice.
Yeah, and they have the franchise QB that everybody, I mean, that's where you start if you want to win a Super Bowl as a quarterback. And San Diego has the guy.
Is he a franchise QB? That's debatable.
Well, I mean, I would take him. I'm with you. I'm not on the Justin Herbert train like a lot of people.
I'm not completely on Justin Herbert
train. I would take him as our QB1 over both Wilson Fields, Wilson Pickett, anybody.
Oh, between Wilson Fields and Pickett, I would take Justin Herbert over all three of those.
And I think,
but that's not saying much.
No, and that's another point I wanted to bring up real quick is that, I mean, Russ was in the AFC last year. Just in our division, you have the MVP, Lamar Jackson. Joe Burrow's been to the Super Bowl. Deshaun Watson gets massages. You got Patrick Mahomes. You got Josh Allen. So if you look at the top tier, you're talking about Allen, Burrows, Lamar, and Mahomes. Then that next tier down, I mean, you're going to have guys like C.J. Stroud and Trevor Lawrence and Herbert, on and on. I mean, that's seven right to Tua. There's eight quarterbacks. Russ might not be one of the top 10 in the league. It's not going to be easy. The NFC, what's he got? Jalen Hurts and Brock Purdy.
Okay, so I'll go one better. Between Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow, they are both probably two of the most hurt quarterbacks the last couple of years. Do they even survive a season? Because it looks like Burrow has been hurt more than Jackson.
I think that Burrow just has he had the ACL his rookie year at the end. What do you have last year? An appendectomy, and then he got hurt midway through. But here's the thing, when they're healthy, you know, Lamar was in the AFC title game. Burrow's last full healthy season was the Super Bowl. So, I mean, there's a lot of talented quarterbacks in the AFC. It's not.
Oh, the AFC North is stacked.
Yeah.
Now, we'll see if Deshaun Watson can pull his head out of his
out of some girl's
play. I don't think he can. I personally don't think he can play anymore.
Well,
I think it's
he's on the decline, and I think that's why they brought Jameis Winston, Tyler Huntley, and some other quarterback. Huntley was the fourth. The rookie they had last year from UCLA, Doran Jackson or whatever. But it's gonna be fun. I mean, I don't think. As far as off seasons go, I haven't been this entertained by the Steelers maybe in my lifetime. Over this weekend. I mean, think about this weekend. They traded Pickett, what? Fields, Wilson came last week. So, I mean,
I'm going to throw one out there, and this is a long shot again. Then we're going to move on to something else, but just let it percolate. Stephon Diggs. He's a free agent. He's a free agent.
Man, I'm over Stephon. Because, look, he's he's 31. He's another guy. Pickens is immature. But when these guys, when it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's horrible. And Stephon Diggs, when they're winning, is fine. But if they lose, you know, he seems like a head case. I still think they end up with Tyler Boyd. I'm not as confident as I was last week. I still think Boyd. I think you're right. What you said at the beginning with Ayuk or Deebo Samuel.
I think Boyd, I haven't heard much on the Deebo Samuel front. You've heard a lot more than I have. I haven't seen much. But I tell you what, I think the Tyler Boyd train is past the station.
Well, it's gone. Guys are starting, and that's the thing. What Hollywood Brown went to Kansas City on a one-year deal. Mike Williams to the Jets. Was that a one-year deal? I didn't see the details right before.
Yeah, it was multi.
Okay.
15 a year.
Cleveland brought in Jerry Jeudy and signed him. I think it was 3 years, $39 million. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what it would take to get Boyd. I just feel like with San Francisco, I think you're right. They would rather trade Ayuk and keep Samuel. They would get more back for Samuel. I mean, it's a good problem to have. They have so many weapons anyway. They could probably get rid of one of them.
I would take Deebo in a heartbeat, especially with the offense I think we're trying to run now. But, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, on to the Pirates. All I got to say is O'Neal Cruz is on a tear. I mean, he's hitting multi-homers in almost any game he plays now. I mean, I know it's grapefruit league ball, but, I mean, he's knocking him out of the park. I mean, they played the Phillies yesterday. He had two homers, both over 400 feet.
Yeah, I mean, he's a treat. If he could stick at shortstop, stay healthy, there's nobody like him in baseball. It's like I mean, he's as fast as like Tyreek Hill. I think they timed him at. So, he's got Aaron Judge's height with that kind of speed. There's nothing like it. I know Ellie De La Cruz in Cincinnati. I got off to a hot start last year, but he's not O'Neill Cruz.
I tell you what, he's got Frank Thomas power.
That's insane.
I like Frank Thomas. I mean, so he's got Tyreek Hill speed. He's got Frank Thomas power. He's got his height, too.
He's the MLB The Show creative player. Dude, I saw him. You don't get – it was, 2022 when I saw them in Baltimore. And you can't watch batting practice like you used to. But on Twitter at the time, now it's X, he hit a missile out of the park and hit a lady in the leg. And she posted a picture of it on Twitter. It was completely black and blue. I mean, he smokes the ball about 120 miles an hour. Like, oh, I mean, he's something, man. I'm actually with the signings they made, they brought in Michael Taylor and Domingo German, whatever he's got left with all his off-the-field issues.
Oh, I'm excited.
I want to see what they do. I think that they could stick around a little longer this year in the race. But, yeah, we'll see.
All right, well.
Let's do it. Let's talk about it.
I don't really want to. Okay. Pitt basketball, University of Pittsburgh, ended their season in the ACC championship against UNC. They fell. I mean, which was pretty demoralizing. They were up by 2 different occasions in the first half, but they couldn't put together the people that bailed them out earlier, like Leggett and that, they didn't show up.
Well, first off, I think North Carolina's good.
They're good. They were beatable though. We were up by 8. We went back to even, then we went behind a little bit, and then we climbed up by 8 again. But they put us away after that.
Pitt should have been in the tournament. There's no way around it.
So now you're 22 wins and can't even make the tournament. I mean, and then, you know, the NIT goes, well, we'll take it, and Fitz said, I don't think so.
Good. And they weren't the only team, and I think that's good because they don't have to. The NIT isn't played at the Garden anymore. They moved it to Indianapolis. No. It's not a prestigious tournament.
It's not what it used to be.
What sucks is we don't get to see Blake Henson play ball anymore. He's a senior, and he's so fun to watch. They should have been in. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, they could expand the field a few more teams. I liked what the guy from ESPN said.
They need to get rid of these automatic bids.
I said that too. Or, like, if you expand, you could. Pitt was one of the few teams. I think Pitt, maybe Indiana State in the right matchup, but Pitt could have won games in the tournament.
Oh, yeah, they were a tournament team.
And I don't quite understand. I mean, you put a 19-13 Michigan State team in as a 9 seed, not even like a 10 or 11, a play-in situation, a 9. Is the Big Ten that great?
I get it.
I mean, Purdue got knocked out in the first round by a 16 seed last year with the player of the year.
I think they've been talking about trying to revamp part of it. And I don't have the answer, but they do need to look at it because it's getting ridiculous.
I think what I would do is I would expand it to 72 teams. I'd add 4 more because if you look at percentages, it's still a very low percentage of Division I schools qualify for the tournament. But I would expand it by 4 teams, and all 16 seeds would be playing each other tonight and tomorrow on Dayton. Those would be the playing games.
I would go for that. That would work. That would give a couple extra shots to schools that either should have been in or now, wow, we made it.
Yeah. I mean, because,
you know, that would be exciting.
It's entertaining to watch. I think we got, Virginia and Colorado State. Like, they usually have 2 major conference games and 2 small games. Pitt was there last year. They won. You know, they beat Iowa State after that. Then they ran into, I think, Xavier. Somebody knocked them out. So it's not like you're going to win the tournament. I think the furthest anyone went was Syracuse 1 year as like the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. So why not make it for the 16 seeds? Let them play on national TV. Let them before they, somebody gets smoked by, you know, Kentucky or Connecticut or, you know.
So I understand it. If you look at the numbers, Pitt, in the first half of the year, they couldn't win a game. I think they lost to Missouri, who couldn't win a
game. Yeah, that's the one that probably kept them out.
But I tell you what, if you look at the last, and that's what they said, you look at the last 16 games, they beat some quality opponents. They won 12 of the last 16, Duke being one of them. I mean, and you, come on.
Well, they beat Virginia. Virginia had the longest home winning streak in the country. They ended that.
They ended that at home.
They were the fourth best team in the ACC. Even they started out 1-5 and were still a double bye number four seed in the ACC tournament. So, but like I said, I mean, when you got Michigan State, like, I don't really know what the conference answer is because it's going to change further with all the realignment stuff. You can't get rid of conferences, I guess. I don't know, but.
Okay, so the important question I'll ask you before we end this is how many players are we off from being in the dance?
None. We should have been there. Here's the thing. So Carrington said he's coming back next year. It sucks to lose Henson, but Carrington's coming back. The other Diaz brother who got hurt, he'll be back. Their top freshman, the top recruit they had, didn't play a game this year. He was hurt before the season started. So there's two guys that are getting back. Carrington said he's coming back. He was already the freshman from Baltimore, the youngest scholarship player in the ACC. So even if next year he'll be 19, like he's got plenty of time to go pro. Leggett will be back. They were already meeting with somebody today from the transfer portal. Like the first team all Big South or something. I forget where UNC Wilmington, maybe somewhere like that. Okay. Another, cause they only got one scholarship available for next year. So I thought all along that next year would be their year. This seemed like it might be a rebuilding year, but they should have almost everybody back, but hence, which is a big loss, but Carrington looks like the real deal. Lowe is good. Leggett, the brothers, Federico. I mean, on and on.
Carrington looked like he was – so I watched that game. I'm not sure you caught it. But he was the biggest catalyst in that game, and then they pretty much shut him down where he was getting frustrated, and he was really trying to do too much.
Yeah, he does.
So they couldn't really reel him in.
Yeah.
But you think we're there?
I think so. Right. I mean, now, granted, this is us saying that we haven't lost anybody yet, other than Henson, of course. So, if we could keep this roster together and add two with the guys, like I was talking about the freshman and get Diaz Graham, the other one back, Federico and the Diaz brothers, those are 3 7-footers. Nobody else has that kind of depth, size, and depth at the position inside. I think so.
Now I do believe if we can get those people back and put up some quality wins next year and make it to the dance, that's really going to help recruiting.
Yeah.
That'll put Pittsburgh back on the map.
Yeah. And
because we fell off the map once Jamie Dixon left. We really fell off the map.
And you know what? As far as the conference goes, you know, Duke wasn't that solid this year. I mean, North Carolina last year was the first preseason number one to miss the tournament entirely. So the ACC is kind of a transitional time. You know, it's never going to be easy to win there, but there's room for Pitt to make a move and get to the top of it, which, you know, you could arguably say they did this year, top four. But I actually think they will be better next year.
Well, they just got snubbed.
Yeah.
Well, terrible. We'll end it on that. We'll end it on that. It's unfortunate, but they played valiantly. They really put it together. Second half of the season, and they got snubbed.
Yeah.
So, this is the Injures Talking Sports. I'm Jeff.
I'm Brandon.
That's Brandon. And we'll see you next time.
Later.
Thanks for watching.